The emes is this chodesh, right after immediately Yom Noroim Tekufa, we find ourselves a few weeks already past the Yom Noroim Tekufa, but the emes is that the first few parishes are still very much connected to the whole Ashkof of the Yom Noroim. The Sefer Beis Aharon of Karlin points out that in fact the parishes Bereshis, by its very name, Bereshis, is keneged Rosh Hashanah, Bereshis. And interestingly enough, he says that Parshas Noach is keneged Yom Kippur, based upon the posik V'chofarto Oisoi Mibayis Mechutz Bakoifer, which is the lashon of Kapora. And Parshas Lech Lecha Lefizeh is Bebchinas Sukkis, Tzei Mediris Kva Dishev Vidiris Arai, constantly being on the move. A few days ago I happened to be speaking with the Square Rebbe and he pointed out, discussing the idea that you find that people continuously move from neighborhood to neighborhood, from house to house. So the Rebbe chuckled and said, I see they are great Bala Madrege. They understand that this life is a Diris Arai, so they continuously keep moving from house to house. That's the Ashkofer. So the idea that Bereshis Noach and Lech Lecha still are representative of the Yom Noroim period, what it basically means is that we never really leave Yom Noroim. That our entire year, the circular year, is a type of a life where the Hanhoge is still connected with the Hashkof of Yom Noroim. And therefore we ask ourselves, in fact, what is our tafkid on a daily basis? Torah tells us and gives us advice. Whenever a Yid needs advice, he looks in the Torah to find proper advice. And there's a parallel of the Geposik that all the Mepharshim are bothered by, and that is that we find in Parshas Nesovim where the Posik says, Rei nosati lufanecha hayoim esachayim v'satoi v'samoviz v'sara. It says, Hachayim v'amoviz nosati lufanecha u'bacharto bachayim. And Mepharshim asks a question, why is it necessary for the Torah to give us such advice, u'bacharto bachayim? Otu b'shuftani yaskinen, are we talking about a person that doesn't have the basic seichel? You're telling him you have chayim in front of you and you have moviz in front of you, and these are the two choices, these are the only two options. What does that have him in it? Why does the Torah need to tell us and advise us, u'bacharto bachayim? A common kasha addressed by many, many Mepharshim. And to intensify that kasha, Rabbi Yisai, if you look in the Rabbeinu Yoina, Rabbeinu Yoina writes in Shari Tshuva that Bacharto Bachayim is not only advice, but in fact that's a mitzvah sesa. It's a mitzvah sesa u'bacharto bachayim, that you choose the derech ha-Torah, that you choose life. And the question, Rabbi Yisai, is why do we need a separate mitzvah sesa to tell us to do the right thing than the mitzvah sesa itself? If the Torah tells us to put on tefillin, that tzivui is mechayev us to put on tefillin. Eat in sukkah, tkiah shofar, tzedakah. Do we need a second mitzvah sesa merely to reinforce the first mitzvah sesa? What is being added by a bacharto bachayev? The emes is, and there is a peladige Rabbeinu Yoina, and once when I mentioned this Rabbeinu Yoina to my balbatim, I had a sofik bichlal even to say it or not, because it's a frightening thought that Rabbeinu Yoina tells us. Let me just tell you, when we talk about Rabbeinu Yoina Bechlal, we talk about Gedol Rishonim who lived in the 13th century. Rabbeinu Yoina was a Talmud of Reb Shloime Minahor. He was a Ben Doiroi of the Ramban. Not only was Rabbeinu Yoina a Ben Doiroi of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yoina actually was the first cousin of the Ramban. The mother and the father of both were sisters, brothers and sister. In addition, Rabbeinu Yoina was a mechutin with Ramban. Rabbeinu Yoina, on the way oyle to Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to be mevakish mechila from the Ramban, because his Rebbe, Reb Shloime Minahor, was one of the strongest, the fiercest opponents against the Ramban, which originally was the same position that Rabbeinu Yoina took, but ultimately, because Maaseh Shehoyah, there's no time to get into now, Ben Yoina changed his mind and he decided, if I can't, he has to ask Mechila for the Rambam. And to do that, he has to go to the Kever Rambam. So he made his way from Gerona, makes his way to Toledo, and there they did not let him leave. the Athens to be Marbit Torah for a while, and the Maisa, he was Nifter over there. Just to realize that Rabbeinu Yonah among his peers is called the Chosid. I'm making this Hakdama just to understand and to have a little bit of an idea of the type of the message what Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to tell us. Ramban, when he refers to Rabbeinu Yonah in Amokim, he calls him Isha Likim Kodesh. Rabbeinu Bechaye, when he refers to Rabbeinu Yonah as well, calls him Isha Likim Kodesh. Rabbi Chaim Veloshin, he says there are many, many Musas for him. Not every Musar Sefer Rabbeisai is coordinated is to each person, each individual, Lav Davke, has an affinity to the same Musar Sefer. Some people have an affinity to Reishis Chochmah, some people maybe to the Shevet Musar, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Chaim Veloshiner, but Shari Chuvel Rabbeinu Yonah is a Sefer that every person can relate to and can have a Shaykhis to. It's something that is Matim, that's a Tzigapas to each and every Yid. Says Rabbeinu Yonah Rabbeis as follows, and I quote his Loshin. It's in Shar Sheni. Veda ki nefesh horosho. Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to define to us what a rosho means. Veda ki nefesh horosho asher kol tavoso lechepze haguf bechayov. A person who is driven after gashmizdige pursuits, a person whose life career is taivas oilam hazeh, v'nifredes tavoso mavoides haboire, v'nifdeles mishrosha, and as a result, his ishama becomes separated from its shayrish, teireid b'moisoi l'mato l'oretz el mokem tavoso. In other words, Rabbi Sarab Chatzke Levinstein saw in this Rabbeinu Yonah. If we take a survey among people, and you ask them, what is the definition of a rosho? So all of a sudden what comes up in our minds are one of the most serious aveiros. Maybe he's a Mechal Shabbos. Maybe he's an Oichel Nevelus Atreifus. Maybe he's over on the Sholish Averis Chamurois. A rosho. Maybe he's a Gazel and Rosho de Chomos. Rabbeinu Yonah, the way Reb Chatzke Levinstein sees from the Losh Rabbeinu Yonah, it's mind-boggling. Rabbi Sai, you can be a Yid, a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You're a Yid who's keeping all the Tariq Mitzvahs. You're not violating any mitzvah, and yet you can be a Rosha. How? Because your taiva, that which you are after, your life's purpose is not Torah mitzvahs. Your life's purpose is seeking worldly pleasures. If you're a type of a person where your life's career, your pursuits, what you are really right of after, is Tavas Oilam Hazeh, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you are called a Rosha. It's a frightening thing to behold. It means that mamish, we can be boile yidin. We can be erlich yidin. We can be koiveya itim la Torah. We can give tzedakah. We can be machzik Torah. We are mesameach leiv al monois and yisoymen. Mamish, we can be gewaldige yidin as far as mitzvahs maisis are concerned. And yet it's yitochen. It's yitochen that a person like that can still be called a rosho. Why? Because his life's purpose in his eyes, what gives him pleasure, what gives him enjoyment, is not avodas Hashem. What really gives him pleasure, what really gives him hanoah, is tavas olam hazeh. And I repeat, veda ki nefesh horosho. What is the nefesh horosho? Asher kol tavoso lechepze haguf bechayos. And Rabbi Yonah says, as a result of that, and that at least needs to be explained as well. Rabbeinu Yonah says, so later, after 120 years, he comes up to Shemayim, and he hopes to go to Gan Eden. They say to him, when you were alive, where were you interested to go? What was your life's purpose? Your life's purpose was Gashmius, Arzius. You know what? We're going to put you into the Red. We're going to put you into the Oretz. Instead of the Yeshama going up there, the Yeshama's going to go down here. The goof, we know where it goes. But once the Yeshama should go elsewhere, his Yeshama will follow where the goof was. Because in fact, that was his purpose in life. The neshama he used, the neshama which gives chiyus to his guf, was used by him for tavas oilam hazeh. And as a result, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the Loshon again, teireid b'moisoi l'mato l'oret el mokim tavoso. Look, that was your goal. You always wanted the mokim taiva. You know what? Here, have it. For eternity. Have your mokim taiva. That's what you were looking for. That's what you were right of after. That's what you want. You're going to get it. Teireid, he says, El Mokim Tavoso. Your wish is fulfilled. That's where we're going to put you. The question, Rabbi, Lamaisa, we have to understand. What does it mean? Lamaisa, this Yid was Mekayim all the Tariag Mitzvahs. And we know that when a Yid is Mekayim Tariag Mitzvahs, we know Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Beria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays schar for each and everything that we do. Not only a mitzvah, Rabbi Yisai. Any Dover Toiv or a remez of a Dover Toiv. Everything is being paid for. Ki Yidua Rav Shach Zatzal mentioned it many, many times. He said that Eishes HaGroh, the wife of the Goyen, had a friend, a Chavertah. And they made a pact between themselves that whoever is Nifter first, goes to the Olam HaEmes, should come back in a dream and reveal a little bit to the other, to the second one, something, what's happening in Shemayim. Ma'ase Shehoya was that Eishes HaGroh, the Chavertah, she was Nifter first, and she's waiting, and there's no dream. She does not come to tell her anything. After the Shloshim, in a dream, her Chavertah comes to her from Olam HaElyon in a dream and says to her, I want you to understand how meduig the cheshbin in Olam Haba is. Do you remember a number of years ago when we were raising money for tzedakah, and we saw Eishes HaGvir, we saw on the other side of the street, and we waved her down. I want you to know in Shemaim they give schar even for the waving. It's not just for the ultimate act of collecting the tzedakah and receiving the tzedakah, but for the waving of the hand. The mere waving of the hand also, in Shemayim there's a cheshbon and there's schar for that. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbeisai Mekapeach Schar Kol Beria. And the question therefore is, how did Shaykh Yid is Mekayim all the Tariag Mitzvahs? Here we're going to classify Marosha, he's not going to go to Gan Eden. What does that mean? It's Yitochen, and this is a suggestion. It's Yitochen, the Kavona of Rabbeinu Yoina is Yidua. All the Bala Musar, Rabbi Lepian used to repeat it many, many times. B'shem Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael used to say that this world, he says, this world is a very expensive hotel. Die Welt, he said of Yiddish, he says, is a teure Stanzie. It's a very expensive hotel, which means to say that when you eat in an expensive hotel, he says, then you are charged for the same type of food that you would eat elsewhere. Very cheaply, but eating the same food in an expensive hotel, you pay much, much higher, because you're paying for the sviva, you're paying for the ambiance, you're paying for the room, you're paying for the entire picture. Kiddur Rabbi Yisrael, in his world of Kiriv, was walking down one of the streets of Paris, and he was thirsty. He decided to go into a restaurant for a glass of water. He was given the glass of water, and he asks for the check to pay for the glass of water, and he realizes that it's an enormous, exorbitant amount of money. And Rabbi Yisrael asks, he says, why am I being charged so much for a simple, mere glass of water? And they explain to him, when you're drinking a glass of water in a hotel, they said, you're not just being charged for the glass of water. You're being charged for the chair, for the air conditioning, for the lighting, for the room, for the painting. You're being charged for the entire atmosphere, for the entire sviva. That's what you're being charged for. Said Yisrael, he says, now I understand for the very first time, when I drink a glass of water, what it means, Shehakoil nie bedvoroi. We don't merely thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbi Yisai for the actual glass of water. When we have the schus to drink a glass of water, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where does the glass of water come from? Where is it being piped in from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzigishtalt all of the rivers, the yamim and the nahorois. He gave me a healthy body. He gave me a mouth to drink. He gave me taste buds. He gave me the ability to enjoy it. When you drink this glass of water, you're paying for the whole sviva. You're paying for that whole atmosphere, for all the conditions which allow you to be able to enjoy that glass of water. That is the hoidah. Shehakol nie bedvoroi. Says Rabbi Yisrael, life in this world is a very expensive hotel. And Amela, it's Shayach, says Rabbi Yisrael, that a person spends his life on this world, and that's the schar of his mitzvahs. That's the schar. It's an expensive hotel, Rabbi Yisai. Why do you deserve all the hanoyas olam hazeh for? You have to pay for it. Why did he create it for? There was a purpose. And if a person whose life purpose is continually to take from this world, he takes and he takes and he takes. and Mamela is tachlis is to be bemale tavosoi, if you're talking that the bill at the end will amount to ischar mitzvahs. That is the expensive hotel that we're living in here in Olam Hazeh. Rabbi Yisrael used to say once, and I'll say it in Yiddish first, he said, mit a Shabbos digen Zimmes kemen ofessen im ganzen Olam Haba. With one sickle kugel, he says, it's shach, you ate up your whole Olam Haba. The idea is, it's a meyri gezach. If that's the case, we are sof kol sof only human beings. It's not shaykh that we should not enjoy Olam Hazeh, certainly to a certain extent. And it's an expensive hotel. So how do we take care of that? How are we able to ensure that, in fact, that we are not charged at the end, that our schar mitzvahs don't go up in smoke, merely paying for this hotel called Olam Hazeh, and then at the end of the day that we are still left with some Olam Haba? And I believe that the answer is with another member of Rabbi Yisrael himself. And maybe one sheds light on the other. Bissau once gave a mashal, and today people here in the business world will certainly understand it. Many, many times you work for a company. And when you work for a company, company sends you out on a mission. It's a business mission. You realize that when they send you on a business mission, you're handed an envelope. Inside you have the airfare, you have your tickets, you have to travel to a different town, a different city. It's paid for by the company. The company has arranged there's a particular hotel that you're going to stay. All the room and board is paid for by the company, not by yourself. Even though you're the one who's sleeping there, you're the one who's eating there, you're the one who is enjoying there, but it's all not being charged to your account. It's being charged to the company account. And the reason is because you are not there for yourself. You are there on a mission. You are there bishlichus of the company, of your employer. So he pays all the expenses. It's all on him. Said Rabbi Yisrael, we are here in this world on a mission. We are here on a mission to fulfill the shlichus of the Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we take from Olam Hazeh, in order to help us, in order to assist us, all the food that we eat and the mashke that we drink, and all the things that we need, all the accoutrements and everything that help us, and we use it really for the tachlis to fulfill the shlichus of the Melech Malchei Amlochim, it's not charged to our account. It's charged to the account of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He pays for it. So the mission here in Olam Hazeh is to recognize that we are here on a mission as shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, all of the enjoyment that in fact that we do have, but if it's really put in the proper context and we are acting out as loyal and devoted messengers to carry out the mission faithfully which we were sent for, then in fact it does not take off at all from any of our schar of our mitzvahs. And in fact, then the hanoas olam hazeh that we did have on this world will not detract, will not take off. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah therefore saying, that in contrast to this hashkofe, however, a person, asher kol tavosoi lechepzei haguf, but if a person was here for his own enjoyment, he does not recognize that he's really here for a purpose, but he understands that his purpose is to be able to take from this world and to be memale his taive. His purpose in this world is to satisfy himself over and over again, and his hanoah is bishvil atzmoi. The hanoah that he takes from this world is to satisfy himself, but not in order for the purpose to make it easier to enable him to be mekayim Torah mitzvahs. So then all the hanoah that he takes, in fact, would be his schar of his mitzvahs, and the chazdu sholem etzitochem, that nothing would be left. That's what Rabbi Yisrael said, mit ein Shabbos de gitzimis, it might be shayach, erestov dan ganza olam habo. Which means, lefizeh rabbeisai, what comes up, that in fact you can have two yidin standing in front of you. You can have two yidin standing in front of you, both are shomer Torah mitzvahs. One person is a shomer Torah mitzvahs who understands his real purpose here in this world. He understands that all the hanoas olam hazeh is not for himself, but this is in order to fulfill the shlichus of the Melech Malchei Amlochim. You can have a same yid who's equally meticulous in shmiras hamitzvahs, but his purpose in life is also to have hanoah from this world. Listen, after all, many people say, Rabbeinu Shloim, he says, listen, I gave you a half an hour for Shacharis. I already gave you 15 minutes for Mincha. I even gave you an hour for Daf Yomi. Now it's my turn. Look, I'm living here in this world too. Now it's my turn. Chelik I'm giving to you, and I'm chelik and taking for myself. This is a way that is not leading to Chaim. This is a way that leads to Lehetich. This is Derech of Modus. Even though mitzvahs maisiyas, he's doing maisim, that the emes are maisim shel Chaim. But the way he is living his life, according to Rabbeinu Yoina, he may end up with nothing because Teirat Nishmosoi Lemata. So this is where it's the subtle difference between these two people. Both people are Elohe Yidin. Both people are Shoimer Teirat Mitzvahs. So the Torah has to tell us, Re'eh, you can have v'sachayim v'samodes. We're not talking about modes, rabbi, sachil, shabbos. No. What's a habim in it? The Torah has to tell us to choose between Torah as opposed to being an over Torah. We're talking about to yidu ha-shoim re-Torah. And yet, one's way of shmiris ha-Torah is the way of chayim, and the other person's way of Torah might still lead him to the other direction. Comes taku u-bacharto b'chayim. The bacharto b'chayim comes to tell us you have to do mitzvahs ba'ofen shel chayim, not to do mitzvahs ba'ofen, which might lead in the opposite direction. And that is a Pele Godel, and that's a Chiddush Nifle. Hashkofa of the Yid to understand of how to deal with his life in this world and how to utilize all the Hanoas Oilam Hazeh, and yet not to detract and not to take away anything of his Schar Loilam Habo. Remot Weinberg Zatzal, Rosh Yeshiva in Montreal, he once pointed out and he said like this. He said, you know that the Einish, the terrible ancient that we have for Arayas, is Chorus. So he says, the Velt is making a mistake thinking that Chorus is an Einish for Arayas. He said, it's not an Einish, it's a consequence. Because Arayas is an ultimate of Taiva. Taiva tears away the Neshama from its Shairish. And Memela it's cut off. So the Einish of Chorus from Arayas is not the Taira's Einish. That is the Tzur of the Aveira. The Tzur of the Aveira is that this is what the Aveira causes. When a person indulges, when a person does not live a life of Kedusha, when a person does not exercise the Ashkof of Midas Histapkus, which we learn about from this week's parasha from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu lived a life of Kedusha, his life of Nisuin, that till the last moment he didn't even realize, Hineno Yodati Kisho Yifas Mareot, living with his own wife, and not even realizing, not even recognizing the Gashmizdige aspects. And Avraham Avinu is the one who says to Melech Sedoim in Mechut Vatzroich Now. This is the Hashkofa. This is the Hashkofa that we learn out of how a Yid is supposed to fear Zach. So I conclude. Some Sofer once pointed out, Edover Nifle, in Bukhakoyz Aitelechu, Torah says, when Sati Gishmechem Bitom, Rashi tells us, Vachaltem Lachem Mechem L'Soyve, that a Nes will happen. Oichel Kimo, Umizborach B'meyof. The Nes will be, you'll be able to eat very little, and nevertheless, you'll be satisfied. A brocha will come into the small amount of food that you eat. The Chassam Sofer asked the Poshta Kashi, why is there a need for a nes? We're talking about a tkufa v'nosati gishmeichem bitom. There'll be a lot of food. Eitz asoda yitin period. There'll be so much food, there'll be abundance of food. There'll be enough to eat. So you'll eat three slices of bread. Why do you need oichel kimo mizbarach b'meyof? Why do you need that nes? Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll tell you why. Because the beginning of the Pasuk says, "Umbukhukhois aitelechu, shetiu amelin b'toire." If you want amelis b'toire, you can't have Gashmias and Torah together. You have to have a reduction in Gashmias. If you want to be Mikayim, Bukhukhois aitelechu, shetiu amelin b'toire, so when I tell you later, Vachaltim lachem mechem l'soiva, to preserve that ability to be a normal b'toire, you have to be oichel kimo, umisborach b'meyov. So, Mamela, when we talk about the Ashkof of the Yid in Oilam Hazeh, Rabbi Yisrael Gans, who's a Choshev Moira Heroi in Bnei Bra, in Yishlai, Matasdorf, he's also a teacher, successful teacher for girls. He once mentioned that he had a drosha that he had to give to a tzibur, and he asked Rav Shach, he said, what is the message that the Rosh Yeshiva suggests that I should impart? What is the message that I should give to the Oilam? And Rav Shach says, listen, he says, every generation, he says, has different nisyonos, and there's a different message that needs to be revitalized. So when I grew up, said Rav Shach, at that time, he says, it was the Haskalah. It was the Haskalah, the enlightenment that caused terrible, terrible kilkul in Klal Yisrael. Today, he says, Haskalah is not an issue. Today, he said Rav Shach, and he said, Mevil machen aleben. That's the problem in our generation. Yidin vil machen aleben. Echoil, we should say, kimocher nomus. Says Rav Shach, What you have to impart is to show the world that with Torah we have Chaim. With Torah, in fact, that we have life. Not Olam Haba, Rabbeisai. We have Olam Hazeh. With Torah, we have Olam Hazeh. The message that you have to impart is that when you say Kehem Chayenu V'Chameinu, it's not just the essence of life, it's the enjoyment of life. Ashreinu Matoib Chalkeinu. That is the message. And therefore, when we say every day, Kol Ashreinu Halochet B'Chol Yoim, Muftach Loi, what does it say? Shehu Ben Olam Haba. It doesn't say Sheyeh, he'll be. Now, he has Olam Haba in this world, because that is the tremendous chus that a Yid is able to be zoiche, to Ashreinu Matoib Chalkeinu. The Rebbein should help him, which is that he be zoiche, to grow a little bit each and every day, to be malin the Kodesh, and to gain a little bit of more of Kedusha, and maybe to understand what our purpose, Taka Bemis, in life is, to come to the Emzig Ashkof of Ashreinu Matoiv Cholkeinu, should be Zoichet, the Simcha, the Nachas, Sheva, Brocha, Vastoch, Abiyaz, Goyal, Tzedek, Mermenu, Amen.